Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Altered Geek Unlimited. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is...
Dave, Joe, and Mike.
Yo. It's episode 45.
Yay!
Five more to 50. And I'm two more to 30, so...
No, you're two more until your 3.0 lifespan.
People live that long?
Oh my god, all things Transformers 3.0.
Hell no. That show will die.
No, it fire. Won't. It will retire peacefully. Let's see, what have I been up to?
Nobody asked you, but I'm just playing.
And getting a lot of interviews. Talked to Bobby Kernow from IDW Publishing. As of this recording, I am planning to talk to Captain N the Game Master, a.k.a. Matt Hill, who is the voice of Kevin Keen on Captain N the Game Master. I've got several other ones that I want to line up. Haven't just done that yet. What else is going on with me? I've been reading a lot. I actually went back and read through all 7 issues of Forever Evil. It's not...
Not very good?
For me, it's not... Well, here's the thing. For those that haven't listened to the pullback, Ryan Dross basically made a comment to me during our Nightwing No More coverage that he basically said, "You really only care about the Bat family in the DC Universe, don't you?" I said, "Kinda." And I'm thinking that's kinda true. While I did find a couple of the Crime Syndicate characters, like Johnny Quick and Atomica, funny and interesting, outside of what centered around Batman and Nightwing, I honestly did not care about Forever Evil. What else have I been doing? I actually sat through, and this is sad. I honestly don't remember if I mentioned this last week, but I sat through X number of hours of someone playing through Grand Theft Auto V, and now I don't even think I want to buy the game. Not that the game isn't good, but I just already know what happens. So maybe that wasn't the best option, but other than that, you know, dealing with the neighbors and people not doing what they're supposed to do and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've had a rough couple of weeks. I've been in kind of a funk. Like, I haven't wanted to do anything. I haven't wanted to watch cartoons. I haven't wanted to watch a lot of stuff. So hopefully I'm coming out of that.
Well, I just turned 28.
Yay! Happy birthday!
Yes, and
the old fart.
Nah. Sounded more like a horse than a comment, but anyways. So yeah, I've been doing that, getting older. And then did some more work on the house because I took 3 days off, and then went to the zoo. Cool. Which was entertaining. I haven't been there to the Detroit Zoo in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Took my son there. He liked it till he got tired. Then he just didn't give a shit. Gets the penguin exhibit, and he's like holding his nose and like giving this like smell like it stinks because the penguin area is it does reek
yeah.
pretty bad. And so it was kind of funny. And
you'd think Skipper and Kowalski would keep it a little bit more cleaner.
Hey, Skipper. Kowalski. Yeah, I wish I could do those voices, but I can't. Those characters in that TV series and film are pretty awesome. Speaking of which, my son's been watching the Penguins of Madagascar TV series. He likes it. Of course, he also likes the live action Scooby Doo films too. So,
well, he's a kid.
Yeah, I don't know how long I can sit through them over and over. Like, I'm good with them once, but I don't know about over and over. The Penguins, I was highly entertained. Just because they kick ass. But anyways, so I rented a bunch of movies, watched RoboCop and some other films that I can't remember right now because they weren't something I would have rented for myself. But yeah, the remake wasn't that bad. I actually liked it and approved of it. It was they kept a lot of some of the phrases and some of the aspects that you'd recognize from the first and or from the original and gave new tweaks to other things. But like, I wouldn't buy that for $1. That was in there. But
that's one phrase I wish would die.
I was surprised it was in there. When it came in there, I'm like, oh, they put it in. And then I just kind of forgot. It's kind of sick how RoboCop actually is when they show him not in armor. You'll just have to watch it to get my drift on that. Yeah. But anyways, so I did all that stuff. And then I've spent the greater part of the evening arguing with Comcast because my new cable box I got yesterday that's supposed to have DVR capabilities worked up until about an hour and a half before the show started. And I was on the phone with them and I did the manual reset. They did the reset. The box continuously reboots because what started out is I could watch TV and I could access on demand. I discovered my DVR service didn't work, so I also tried to watch Whose Line Is It Anyway on the on demand, and yeah. Nothing played. I saw a black screen, so I called Comcast, and then they reset. Like I did the manual reset of the box that it lets you do over the phone automated phone thing. And then it went in an endless loop of reboot. Jeez. And so they're overnighting me a new box. I'll have it tomorrow, and then they'll have me send the other one back. So I get to argue tomorrow with them to try and get some money back for my inconvenience that I've been having consistently.
You just can't win with this company, dude.
No, I can't. I can't. And truthfully, I would get AT&T in a heartbeat if they actually serviced my area.
Yeah.
They do internet, but it's the DSL, and it's like 6 meg service, and I'm not going that low.
Yeah.
I have to have 18 or higher, which I have to have UVerse for, but I can't get UVerse because they don't have the rest of the services out here, so
yeah,
it sucks. Gonads. And then Charter, which I also qualify for out here, is too much damn money. So I'm screwed with Comcast yet again. So,
The other thing that I've been doing over the last few weeks that they've been airing new episodes is I've been watching the Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. How many episodes have you caught recently?
I've seen them all.
I guess we'll start at Wormquake. That's probably not necessarily the most recent, but Wormquake, aka the Manhattan Project, was the big double episode that they aired, and this was the one where they said, guess what, all the old voice actors are coming back together again. And I really thought it was going to be
more than what it was.
Well, no, and not necessarily more than what it was. It was fine for what it was. But I thought that the, and I hope this happens in the future, honestly, I thought that the 80s cast, which is Cam Clark, Barry Gordon, Townsend Coleman, and obviously Rob Paulsen, would come up against the 2012 cast, which is Rob Paulsen,
Jason Biggs,
Greg Sipes, Sean Astin. So I wanted them to interact with each other because I really want to see a conversation between 80s Raph and 2012 Donnie. I really want to see Rob talk to himself. But no, the episode was good. I liked it. It was interesting. More recently, when I saw the Pizza Face episode, as soon as I saw the title, I'm like, okay, somebody go out and rewrite Lady Gaga's lyrics for Poker Face to Pizza Face.
I'm a pizza face.
Yeah. The most recent one that I saw...
was it the one with the Shredder having his mask stolen?
The Legend of the Kuro Kabuto. Yep.
Yep.
That's the most recent episode. And he had his mask stolen by what I assume is the future Bebop.
I'm going to guess a neutrino.
I hope not, but I think because of the purple and it's a mohawk, I'm hoping it's future Bebop. But it was really interesting seeing Shredder without his mask the entire, like, without his helmet the entire episode. That dude got really roughed up.
And it was kind of funny seeing Karai finally realize her father.
Yeah, that happened. I'm really loving this cartoon. There are some episodes that don't hit me, you know, positively, but it doesn't really hit me negatively either. Like the one where it was mazes and mutants, I didn't really care for that. They were playing a live-action role-playing game. Wasn't my thing, but hey, people like that, fine. But I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season. We've got two episodes left so far. We've got two episodes that have not aired yet so far. I don't know if they're doing 26 or 22. I know the first season was 26. I assume they'll do 26 for this, so... And then they have been picked up for season 3 and even season 4. Well, although season 4, it doesn't say when.
Well, you know what the funny part is?
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo's being replaced for season 3.
Oh, is he now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Green.
I don't know about that. Okay, think about it this way. Seth Green, Nelson Nash from Batman Beyond. You want Nelson Nash as Leonardo?
Okay, you can't typecast him.
No, I'm not typecasting him. I'm just saying that his voice as Nelson Nash makes sense. And I've heard Seth's voice in other things outside of Batman
Robot
Beyond.
Chicken.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I know everyone was really skeptical about Jason Biggs at the time, and you know, who knows? Maybe his Leo will appeal to people. I'm not gonna sit here and judge it, you know, until I actually hear the voice. But I'm wondering why. Now, I know at one point somebody told me that there was between Biggs and his wife, there was a huge fight between the two of them on Twitter at some point. And Nickelodeon found that pretty
PC.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if it gives any details.
Well, it says that he left the series during its second season and was temporarily replaced by Dominic Cattrambone.
Hmm.
And it says Seth Green will permanently take over the role from Biggs beginning in season 3.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I like Seth. I don't dislike him. I like his voice. He's got a cool voice. I don't know if his voice is gonna fit the characterization of Leo, because Leo's into all these. He was super into that. Actually, very well put together cartoon within a cartoon compared to the old Star Trek animated series. That spoof of the Star Trek animated series. He was really into that, and he has this kind of whole here. You know, I have to be the leader in the hero complex. I'm not sure if Seth's voice is going to fit that, but I'm open to see what Seth does with it. Where do you want to go next?
Well, for one, I kind of like the show. Obviously, for the fact that I watch it a lot. But I also, I'm kind of interested to see where it goes in season 3 and how they kind of adapt to all the changes and some of the other, aspects, of it. I must have missed the one where Baxter Stockman became a fly.
I saw that. It was creepy as all hell. It was kind of awesome.
Better than the original?
Honestly, I haven't seen the original episode where Pat Fraley Baxter Stockman mutated. So I couldn't really say.
See, I've seen the original, so...
Yeah. It's a new take. A little bit of a new take on Baxter. It's obviously new design, since it's CGI and not traditional animation. It's all right. It's not a bad... They didn't do any disservice to the fact that he turns into a fly, I don't think.
All right. So I think we'll come back after a quick break with some of the kind of interesting media news that's been popping around lately.
I'm Colin Baker.
My name's Fraser Hines.
Hi, I'm Daphne Ashbrick.
This is Andrew Cartmell.
Hi, this is Colin Spall.
Hello, I'm Simon Bishop Echo.
This is Ian McNeice.
Hi, this is Travis Ritchie.
You listen to this, Mark.
Listen to Mark Who 42's Universe.
If you're into Doctor Who, listen to Mark Who 42's Universe. We always have the latest Doctor Who news, reviews, and interviews. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Geekcast Radio Network, and our home base, MarkWho42.net.
MarkWho42, the meaning of life.
And we're back with Ultra Geek Unlimited. So, have you heard the ramblings of the Madagascar penguins?
I've seen the teaser trailer.
What'd you think?
They replaced the voices for Kowalski and Private, I believe. Kowalski in the animated series was originally Jeff Bennett, and I understand Jeff Bennett is a very busy voice actor, but they kept the same voice, Tom McGrath, as Skipper. I don't know. I'm optimistic about it. I don't mean to sound pessimistic. I liked what I saw. I just didn't like what I heard coming out of Kowalski, because it doesn't have the same feel as what his character was on the cartoon. And I know the cartoon series and the movie are different. But
now, did they have? Was Jeff Bennett the voice on the Madagascar films?
I couldn't tell you, but I will find out.
Because I obviously I could hear it. I could hear it in the animated one. That's funny, Rico, John DiMaggio.
That was Kevin Michael Richardson originally.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
Because I know John DiMaggio does a lot of voices on that cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I hear them every time somebody opens their mouth. I hear that, John DiMaggio does when he starts talking. It's kind of interesting, too, to see James Patrick Stewart playing Private.
Yeah.
I would not have guessed either of those.
No, it doesn't look like he was. No, he wasn't in the films. I don't even remember who. Honestly, the Madagascar films, the best thing to come out of them was the penguins.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
I'm not a Ben Stiller fan most days.
The only thing that
Kowalski was played by Chris Miller in Madagascar.
And Private was Christopher Knights, and Skipper was still Tom McGrath, which I'm sorry, if you changed that penguin in particular, it'll throw off the whole dynamic.
Well, see, that's why I think changing Jeff Bennett from the TV series, because a lot of people watch that TV series. Changing him to whoever it is now in this new movie is going to throw people off because it's not the same dynamic. I'm still going to see the movie. I'm not, like, I love the penguins. I love their antics. I love the cast of characters that they used for the TV series.
It's funny that they show, this is the TV show James Patrick Stewart played, Private.
Right.
But the original Christopher Knights is playing in The Penguins of Madagascar. Private will still be the same as all the movies. I thought he sounded different in the show, which that explains a lot. And then, what's the other guy? Kowalski.
It was Chris Miller.
It was Chris Miller, which Jeff Bennett played him in the TV series. But Chris Miller is again reprising his role in the film.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I
still.
But and McGrath, he's like the staple playing Skipper.
Yeah. Playing Skipper, yeah. You can't not have McGrath playing Skipper because that just really wouldn't sound. I'm not saying Chris Miller is going to be a bad Kowalski. I'm just used to Jeff Bennett's version of Kowalski. And that's what I like, but I'm not going to let it detract from me seeing the film. It is interesting. It brings the comedy from what I saw in the trailer, and at least they're, doing a full-on Penguins movie versus Madagascar 4, Escape from Antarctica or whatever.
It's funny, the Tom McGrath guy that plays Skipper. It says he made his directing debut as the co-director, writer, and co-creator of Madagascar.
Oh, wow.
And it says he also created a memorable squad of penguin characters and voiced their leader, Skipper, and then reprised his role as Skipper and co-directed and co-wrote the sequel, Madagascar 2. And then he says he's working on the penguins and then the Madagascar spinoff TV series. He again did all that, and then it says that he directed Megamind.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Quite awesome.
Yes, very awesome.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see where you like Jeff Bennett.
I mean, it's only because I've seen him voice Kowalski in X number of how many episodes that TV series had.
I'm used to the other guy, but that's only because I've seen all the films first, and then I saw this show.
Yeah.
So it's a little off-putting to hear the difference in voices of these penguins, but I don't necessarily dislike them either. I am kind of looking forward to that, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the best part of Madagascar, so that's the only reason to really want to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched the Pixels clip? Not necessarily the Adam Sandler video game comedy. I'm saying like the other one.
No, I haven't.
Well, what it is it shows, like, aliens coming, more or less, and they invade using, like, 8-bit characters from, like, the old Atari days, like, you know, Galaga and, you know, stuff like that. Dig Dug and all, you know, very, you know, Tetris and Pong.
Space Invaders.
Yeah, so, I mean, all those things come into play in this clip this guy made, and it's, like, a quick, like, 3-4 minute video. And it basically digitizes everything as it attacks. It's like one of the Space Invaders aliens shoots down and it hits a car and it digitizes into 8-bit and then it just disintegrates to like Lego bricks. So that it goes through this whole video doing that kind of stuff, and then eventually the entire Earth ends up like a giant cube because the whole planet gets it hit with like some kind of a massive 8-bit nuke.
Wow.
It's actually really creative and funny. I'm not quite sure how the Adam Sandler film is going to play into that. While I do like Adam Sandler, and I think this is a odd direction to go, and it's supposed to be, as far as I'm gathering, it's supposed to be live action, but I don't know that for certain with these 8-bit things. So it's supposed to be like a video game comedy thing, but I'm not quite sure what to think.
Honestly, I haven't really dug any of Sandler's stuff in, I'd say, the last... Honestly, almost since Waterboy. I don't know what it is. I try to watch his movies now, and it's just not my kind of comedy anymore. I don't dislike the guy, but at the same time, it's like... I don't know. I miss the good old days of, you know, Happy Gilmore and Wedding Singer and all that stuff. I mean, sure, I can go back and watch those movies, and that's not a problem, but I don't know. I don't get excited about hearing about an Adam Sandler film.
I will say...
As I used to.
I will say you may like Blended, though. The saving grace is the dynamic between Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
So what is this? Like their 7th film that they worked on together? 3rd. It's only been 3 films?
Yeah. Wedding Singer, okay. 50 First Dates, and Blended.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And he's only had the same, like, girlfriend / wife and one other film series, and that's Grown Ups. So, yeah. Weird Al is working on a new album. Coming out in July.
Yeah, I can't imagine what he's got up his sleeve.
That is one crazy and creative dude.
But yes, he is. But there's so many things. Like, when was his last album? Do you remember?
2011.
Okay, it's now 2014. It's 3 years later. There have been so many things that happened in the last 3 years. That I wouldn't even know what to expect parodies from him. I almost bet there's going to be some sort of Kimye or Kardashian or some sort of Kim Kardashian Kanye West parody.
Well, his new album is called Mandatory Fun, and it looks like he's like a general with like tanks and little soldier guys.
That means he's probably going to have a few... pokes at the military and you know, our quote-unquote leader right now.
From what I've heard, mm-hmm. He's supposed to be parodying a 90s song, too.
Oh, jeez.
I could be wrong, but that's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's... It looks interesting, to say the least. But he's kind of staring off into this weird direction... and everything. He also did the most recent, I don't know if you've ever watched this series, but the Epic Rap Battles.
I haven't, no.
I've only recently, like the last few months, started watching these. Normally rap is not my thing.
Same here.
I can't get into it. But I find when it's in a parody or if it's in a mocking, you know, comedy type aspect background, like something Weird Al may parody or you know, in the sense of like these epic rap battles. They're actually quite entertaining because it goes like that, how it talks, because it's making fun of itself at the same time. And they usually have like one guy rapping against another guy, like they have Adolf Hitler against Darth Vader.
Wow.
And then, you know, at the end, it goes by votes to decide who wins the rap battle. But they had Weird Al playing Isaac Newton against Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
So it's actually quite funny. And they had like another one with like Goku, which was Ray William Johnson. Against Superman.
Holy crap.
It's these most bizarre like freaking things, but it's hilarious to watch. Because it's not only and they're speaking like saying things that, I mean, granted, they put, you know, the rap slam kind of stuff into it, but they take like historical facts about the characters or about something that the actual person created or did, and they throw it into there, and then they bash the other one with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that they're actually quite entertaining to watch.
Interesting. I guess I'll bring this up since it's kind of current and it relates to music. I think I talked about this a little bit before, but I haven't mentioned too much about it. The full track listing for one of my favorite band's upcoming albums on July 29th has been released. Theory of a Dead Man will release Savages coming up on July 29th. They have two tracks on this album that are collaborations. One song with Alice Cooper and the other song with Joe Don Rooney from Rascal Flatts. I think that's absolutely hilarious that these guys, I watched a video with them and they're just recently, I might put it in the post. It's behind the scenes and they're talking about the direction of the album, how they wanted to make it more guitar heavy and basically go back to basics from what their original album was almost 12, 14 years ago. And it's just one of those things that is absolutely amazing. I have no idea what to expect from Theory's album, Savages, coming up on July 29th, folks, because with two songs, with one that is a collaboration with Joe Don Rooney from Rascal Flatts and the other from Alice Cooper, I have no clue what to expect from this music. Oh, Theory of a Dead Man. Gotta love him.
Yeah, you follow him more than I do.
Yeah. What else do we want to talk about for news?
Well, I think we should talk about the big purple elephant in the room.
Aquaman? I didn't know he changed his colors.
That's right. He is an elephant. They casted Aquaman. So now we have Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, and finally, Aquaman.
I'm walking away, honestly. I can't even talk about this, people.
It's
going to get me so upset. I can't even talk about it, dude.
I don't understand, if it's supposed to be Batman versus Superman, why they're having all these other characters show up.
Mm-hmm.
Have them show up. I mean, I guess they could have them show up at the end. Kind of, yeah. Like they're like a to be continued, almost like mounting an attack against like Luthor and his Facebook like company.
Oh God, that's so not what I wanted. Damn it.
Well, it is Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah,
and he's gonna have hair to begin with, and then he's gonna have a company like Facebook. So you're gonna have the social network all over again. Just with superheroes. It's important to support people.
I can so see his Zuckerberg being a young Alexander Luther. Oh my god, that's so crazy. I don't think Lex would be that stupid though to blog and post animal pictures. Oh god.
Well, it's supposed to be like a hipster company.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, that was my thought.
I really don't want to talk about this. I just figured I'd make an Aquaman joke to kind of, you know, mention the casting. But it's just one of those things where I just want to see the damn movie. I don't care.
And I want to see it too. I'm curious how they're going to make this work with having all these superheroes.
I'm curious if any of these news stories are even true. Okay, sure. We know Henry Cavill. We know Batfleck is going to be there. You know, honestly, until I see an interview with Zack Snyder like a year before the film comes out, a year, people, think about this, and I've mentioned this before on the show, and I'm sorry to repeat myself. This damn movie was announced a year and a half ago or something like that, and it's not coming until 2 years from now. Like, ugh. But Wonder Woman's daughter should have been Wonder Woman in the movie.
I do agree with that. Well, I mean, nothing against Gal Gadot, but Linda Carter's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Altman.
Mm-hmm.
Would look pretty hot as Wonder Woman.
Yes, she would. I guess we can also, before we get to the sad news, I guess we can talk about the fact that they're doing Robots in Disguise version 2.0.
I think that is the dumbest thing in the world.
Okay, I don't understand this.
I don't understand why they're calling it the same thing as the other show.
Granted, not a lot of people.
And it's animated. It's animated all over again.
Yeah. It's combining animated and Prime styles. It's basically so the Hub and Hasbro don't have to pay those big bucks to full-on, you know, CGI like Prime was. The funny thing is, the same studio that did Prime, Polygon Studios, is doing this cartoon. And they're basically mixing Prime and animated. What I do love about it, the whole thing so far, is, though, that Bumblebee will have a voice, and it will be Batman still. It will still be Will Friedle. I do love that. The naming, not a lot of kids are going to remember, like not a lot of, you know, kids that are probably, you know, I'd say 18 and under are going to remember the original very, very horrible Robots in Disguise cartoon from 2001. But I wish it was named something else, honestly. Transformers Legacy, Transformers Dawn of Futures Past, Transformers Earthfall, Transformers Return to Cybertron, anything but Robots in Disguise.
Transformers Dawn of the Future.
Yeah. Or hell, they could, instead of calling it Robots in Disguise, they could call it Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. Then it would only be copying one thing, which is the current IDW comic book.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah. But overall, though, outside of the name, I like the way the logo looks, and I cannot wait to see the cartoon itself. I mean, I'm very stoked for it, so... but the name is a little... I guess it's about that time to talk about
America's Casey. Top 40.
God. This Casey Kasem, ladies and gentlemen, was a radio. First of all, he's not just a voice actor; he is a radio icon.
I was going to say that.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
He he has been active in the entertainment industry since 1954. He has been active for six decades in entertainment. He did American Top 40 in its multiple variations over the years for 39 years. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of music you like or listen to. Every single person on this planet, at least in North America, was touched in one way or another by listening to Casey Kasem's Countdowns. He's a guy that has one of, if not the best, radio voice.
Well, I mean, he's got one of those iconic voices that you just know when you hear it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was saying the other day, I think it was on an episode of Talking About My Generation with Doug Abel, that Casey Kasem... Okay, nowadays in the internet, we know David Kaye is Beast Wars Megatron. We know that Peter Cullen is Optimus Prime. We know that Frank Welker is Megatron in his many iterations. Back in the day in the 80s, we didn't know, like, we cared about the characters that people voiced. We cared about the actual voices. The difference here is, because Casey was such a public guy, he was, you know, he was always in the public eye because he was on the radio. Even I knew as a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, Casey Kasem was the voice of Shaggy Rogers. You know, but back then, generally, none of us kids back then really paid attention to the names of the actors of the characters. We just loved the characters.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. I mean, I always tried to figure out who was who,
mm-hmm.
but I based them on who they, you know, what character I knew they sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I mean, pretty much everybody knows who everybody is.
Yeah.
And Casey Kasem, he's just... he played the original Robin
yep.
in the animated series, and then, you know, obviously Shaggy for so long in his top 40, mm-hmm. and I think it was top 40.
Yeah. It was American top 40, there was American top 10 and top 20. But I mean, the way I look at Casey Kasem, have you ever seen that movie with Richard Dreyfuss called Mr. Holland's Opus?
I can't remember if I've seen it or not.
He plays a music teacher that is at this hard knock school for over four generations of music.
No.
Okay. Anyway. That character in that film is kind of who I align Casey Kasem to be in real life, because the man has been, like, from 1970 to 2009, at least four or five different decades of music. He has seen music tastes change nearly 40 years, at least up to 2009, 40 years. Like I said, he is someone who touched our lives in many different ways through his entertainment. I loved him as young Shaggy on A Pup Named Scooby-Doo. He would eventually pull a Larry Kenney, because Larry Kenney was Lionel in the original Thundercats. He came back to play King Claudius, Lionel's father, in the 2011 version. Casey came back to play Colton Rogers on the Cartoon Network Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, the one that Derek J. Wyatt did art direction on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice. The saddest thing about Casey Kasem's life is how his personal life has gone. Now, I've said this many times, ladies and gentlemen, I care about what the artist or the actor or whomever, I care about the product that they're putting out or the voice that they're putting out. I don't necessarily like paying attention to their personal life. But a few weeks ago, before Casey's death on June 15th, 2014, there was an article that popped up online: Casey Kasem missing. And I was like, "What?"
Yeah, I remember that.
So I went looking, and I went doing some research and everything else. The saddest thing about his illness, he was originally diagnosed with Parkinson's, but he actually had Lewy body dementia, which is, it's difficult to differentiate from Parkinson's. The saddest thing about his illness is, due to it, he was no longer able to use his voice. Quite possibly the greatest radio DJ of all time lost his voice. That is depressing. I don't want to get into the family drama. I just know that there was something with his current wife at the time, Jean Kasem, where she wouldn't let his children from his first marriage see their father. And I know that Julie Kasem, one of his daughters, she said in a video interview, you know, "We don't care about the money. We just want our dad." You know, but I mean, Casey Kasem, what a man. I mean, seriously, I don't know. What are some of your thoughts? Because if I talk anymore, I know I'm going to end up bursting into tears, because it is very sad that he passed away.
Well, I mean, I kind of think I'm more familiar with his animation work,
mm-hmm.
than with him
on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard him mm-hmm. on the radio, because it's one of those, you know, iconic voices that it's kind of hard to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, again, like I said, I know him from Robin. I know him from Cliff Jumper. I know him from Shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that he's originally from Michigan.
Yep, Detroit, Michigan.
And he actually worked in Flint.
Yep.
Which is strange to me. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I was born in Flint, Michigan. But yeah, it's kind of crazy how long he did the American Top 40, and then his Top 40, and then the Top 40 second run.
Yeah. You know, I would love, if I really had the time and I had access to them, and I know this is thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of content, but I honestly would love to listen to 5 different American Top 40s from each year from 1970 to 2009.
You would be like, there a while.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, if I could even if it was only one per year over 39 years, so if it was one episode, it would, you know, just be, you know, 39 episodes. You know, I would love to, and see, that's the beauty about those, like, those countdowns rely on weekly numbers. They still do to this day, because Ryan Seacrest is currently doing American Top 40. Ryan Seacrest is also doing Dick's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Which was sadly anticlimactic this year.
Yeah. My point here is, even though those, like, if you listen to the countdown this past Sunday, and this song was at number one, and this coming up Sunday, that number one song from the past week was knocked down to number two and number three or number four, whatever else, I get it. It's a way to track current music. But one of the reasons why I'd like to go back and listen to some of the older Casey shows is not only just to hear his voice again and to hear his show, but to see what the music was back then, to really remember those 40 songs from whatever year that I listened to it from. anyway. What else? Is there anything else we want to say about Casey?
Just sad to see him go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have, on kind of a different note, Heroes Reborn. I know you didn't watch the original, did you?
No. Okay. I watched, I think three episodes of the first season, and no.
Okay. Well, the reboot, they're going to bring back the guy with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
That works for this fake paper company that hunts the people with powers.
Right.
And at present, they don't know how many of the original characters they're going to bring back. The only thing that's funny about it is that company was disbanded during the original series of it. It's supposed to be kind of a continuation, which leads you to believe, how the hell did he get to be the head of the company again, or like in this company again?
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that hardly any of the original actors have been approached.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see Spock back, I guess.
Siler.
Yeah.
Since he hasn't done much of anything else.
Yeah, like, Zachary Quinto has pretty much been Spock, and that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has, because I'm looking at his filmography here now. He has two films this year that are supposed to be coming out. We'll Never Have Paris, and something called Agent 47. As far as television, the last thing he was on was American Horror Story from 2012 to 2013. So, I don't know. I kind of see him as Spock now. And the strangest thing about him, seeing him as Spock and then going back and watching him as Adam on the early seasons of 24.
I didn't watch enough of 24 to even know.
It's kind of like if Zachary Quinto a la Star Trek went back in time to talk to the Zachary Quinto of 24, it's kind of like what you would get with Leonard Nimoy and Quinto in the Star Trek movies. It really is. Because it's so far apart from each other as far as where they are in their lives. You know, hey, if NBC wants to bring back Heroes to see if it'll work again, great. Heroes might be the only television show I actually agree with what Sheldon Cooper says about it. Heroes was good in the beginning, and then it just kept declining till nobody cared.
Yeah. It's about right.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll jump into some listener feedback.
Okay.
So, last week we asked the question of what has been the biggest, or more so, what this year has been the biggest geek news film event important to you? What would you say has been yours?
I'm trying to think here. I don't know. I mean, because I'm always up on the news, for my interests. I'm trying to think the biggest thing. Maybe that I think that story came out before this year. I was going to say maybe that James Spader was going to be Ultron, but I guess I got to go comic on it and say that there's two things. Number one, that they killed off Nightwing's series to basically make him the Nick Fury of the DC Universe, and the other one is the fact that Batman Beyond Universe is going to start going weekly eventually. Those are the ones that were kind of important to me. They're not like huge epic movie news or huge epic geek news stories, but those are kind of the ones that resonated with me. But I don't know, I can't pick big news stories like that kind of stuff. Plus, the year isn't even over yet. So far, just, I don't know.
I kind of have a hard time with it, but I would almost say that the franchise films, like you have, you know, like your Dumb and Dumber 2, you have Transformers 4, you have, you know, the Batman film information, you have like Captain America 2 and X-Men Dawn of Futures Past, and I would say a lot of that stuff has been kind of on my radar more or less this year and kind of been big to me anyway. Not necessarily the news, but just the actual events themselves of things happening. More so of the releases of them.
Right.
And then other than that, I'd probably say the, you know, like the scientists trying to invent warp drive and the new Enterprise.
Yeah. You mean the actual new Enterprise, not the one that sits underwater, right?
I don't mean that piece of crap J.J. Abrams film. I meant the NASA-built Enterprise that, yes, you know, is meant, yes, to be in space, not underwater. So we go off to the comment board, and we have Brad Kellogg, who says the biggest geek thing that has happened this year, that his friends have been talking about most, is the season of Game of Thrones. Huge deaths, of course. Finally, some SOB gets his, and then it says spoilers, the controversy of the now famous scene after that, and so much more. Each episode had something awesome to talk about. Very sad the season is over. And then Superfilm fan says he agrees.
Yep.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
It's on HBO. I'm not paying for HBO. Even though I know two or three people that have HBO Go accounts and I have at least access to one of them, Game of Thrones is just not my thing.
I may give it a shot when it's done, but I don't know how long I'll stick with it. I don't typically stick with that kind of, that era very well, whereas my wife does.
Yeah.
So, but who knows? Film for Fun says, to me the biggest news story has been this Superman vs. Batman movie. Just so much has been said about it. The casting of Luthor was a huge deal. The reveal of the suit was huge online. Even the title was all over the place for a while. It is the story that won't die. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. That's an understatement. I mean, this story has been this isn't even a news story anymore. It's a news phenomenon because it's been going on since they announced it at Comic-Con, what, 2012? 2013? I don't even remember. Something like that. All as I know is Batman vs. Superman better be the best damn comic book movie that has ever been made with all the damn hype. And I can say hype, ladies and gentlemen, because there have been so many fake news stories, there have been so many real news stories. The only thing I believe is the suit, the Batmobile, and the fact that Henry Cavill and Batfleck are going to be in it. Everything else, I have zero... Until it comes out of Zack Snyder's mouth, I do not believe in any of these damn news stories.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. So, moving on. Ryan Hannity says, I cannot really think of anything all that big that has happened this year in the geek world, honestly. He says, Original Sin for Marvel has been really good so far, and hearing how they're going to kill Wolverine has me interested in seeing how that plays out.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah, I kind of put that in there. I said, not sure what they plan to do with Wolverine. I'm intrigued, but they'll never stay dead, just like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Green Lantern, etc.
Yeah.
They all come back eventually, except for Uncle Ben and Bruce's parents. And even then, it, you know, the only one that really came back was the dad at points.
Yep.
Andre Walter says, don't know if this qualifies as geek per se. For me, it is a childhood dream come true that the WWE Network.
Yeah, I mean, that's the coolest thing now with wrestling. Even though some of the stuff that they're doing currently in the WWE, I don't particularly care for. I've always been a fan of wrestling, specifically WWF, WWE. WWE Network is a 24/7 network. For those that don't know, it's $9.99 a month. There's a 6-month, you have to agree to at least 6 months of service. But it's $10 a month versus $40 a month for pay-per-views. It's $10 a month, and you get all like pay-per-views from everything, not just the current year's pay-per-views. You get all the old stuff from WWE, WCW, and ECW. So it's a high-value thing if you want to go back and watch the old wrestling stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I used to watch wrestling back in the day. I don't know exactly what happened when I quit watching it, but when I quit watching it, it was WCW, NWO, which was a long time ago.
Yeah, NWO, as a kid, I think that was 90... somewhere 91, 93, somewhere early 90s, early to mid 90s, as a, you know, almost, you know, preteen slash teenager, NWO really screwed with my head, because as a kid, I was a huge Hulkamaniac fan. I actually saw Hulk and Roddy Piper live at a show. And, you know, so I was a huge Hulk fan, and to see him go evil was like, oh my god.
It's almost like seeing Red Hulk.
Yeah, pretty much. What else we got?
Dragono says, I think the biggest thing to happen this year was probably the casting of Star Wars. And people speculated for months before it was finally revealed.
Yeah.
I would almost argue that as well. Only for the fact that, you know, we've gotten all the original cast back for the most part, and then they're trying to figure out who the new people are. The only other movie that's getting as much casting rumor news is the Batman vs. Superman.
Yep.
But I find myself slightly more intrigued by the Star Wars end of it, because it's going to be a Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
And Justin Washington says, with the Amazon against WB debate, which we kind of brought up last episode.
Yeah.
Amazon has nothing to worry about. WB needs Amazon more than Amazon needs WB. Yeah. Amazon is the highest rated company in the U.S., highly profitable and constantly growing. WB, on the other hand, can't even get their heads on straight enough to figure out what they're doing. And then I said, aren't you right, sir? WB is a clusterfuck.
Yes, they are.
They never know what they're doing. So, nope. Thanks for the correction. Because we weren't exactly sure what stance to take on that.
You know, the only reason why I brought that up last week is because I was kind of happy that no one that used Amazon would be able to order the Lego movie. It's the only reason why I brought that up last week. And even now, the thing stands, because I just searched for the Lego movie on Amazon and it's not showing up. So apparently that contract dispute is still in dispute. Anyway.
So, think that about rounds it out this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for listening to Altered Geek Unlimited. You can contact us in the following ways. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the episode post, geekcastradio.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can contact us on Twitter by using @GeekCastRadio, #AlteredGeek. Or my Twitter, which is SCP21, and yours?
Dave, Jim, and Mike.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Ah, brave new world that has such putzes in it. You know, kids, a lot has changed while your old Uncle Joker's been away. New Gotham, new rules, even a new Batman.
It isn't 65 years in the future, but Legends of the Dark Knight has gone beyond. Batman Beyond, that is.
Ah, the new boy. Ears are too long and I miss the cape, but not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Join Steve and Mike as they delve into the remaining episodes of the podcast, where they'll cover Batman Beyond, products, games, and more. Check it out only on GeekCastRadio.com.